So welcome. This is the Ohio Writers Guild, and we are talking tonight with Skip Bailey. Now, I met Skip on Clubhouse, and I don't know if any of you have been on Clubhouse before, but when you get on Clubhouse, you really get a sense of who people really are, because you get to hear them talk. It's different than seeing a post on Facebook or seeing a post on Instagram, or even where somebody's made a reel, you know, where they've maybe rehearsed it and practiced. And so what happens on Clubhouse is it becomes very authentic, and you really get to hear what they're about, and you feel like you can make some connections there. And that's how Skip and I first met. And so then we've chatted offline a couple of times, and he's just he's a go-getter. He's I tell you what, I follow him on his social media, and I'll let him tell you a little bit about what he's doing. But he's a dynamic author, and he has a style that's gripping. He captures your attention with a smooth, elegant flow that really promotes self-reflection. He is known to his fans as an energetic person who is fun to be around, and it really translates well in his writing. So he's also a success coach. I'll let him tell you a little bit about Jay-Z and some TV shows. He is a certified life coach, a relationship coach, and an addiction recovery coach. And you'll see why all of that is relevant here in a moment. He is also a public speaker, and we have a speakers guild, and Skip is one of our speakers listed in our speakers guild. And so with that, Skip, I am going to ask you, tell us a little bit about your backstory, about your journey on how you kind of started writing. How did you get to the place where you were writing a book?
Well, first of all, thank you, Kathy, again. You know, actually, it's my story started. I'm originally from, right now I reside in New Jersey. That's where I've been living for the last a lot of years. See, I'll give you the number. But I'm originally from Virginia, Cape Charles, Virginia, the southern town of on the Eastern Shore. And actually, my story actually kind of started back then. You know, the lifestyle that I had, you know, helping my grandmother. I used to work in the fields because, of course, we're going to get to we move forward. The title of my book is From the Fields to the Stage. And a lot of people ask me, is the field, did I work in corporate? I was like, no, I literally worked in the fields.
Literally in the fields.
Literally worked in the fields. So that's where it came from, you know, working in the fields with my grandmother, living as a little boy, living in Virginia. I moved to New Jersey when I was 10, but I guess maybe from like 10, from 6 years old to 10, whenever I was able to go out there with her, help her pick potatoes and tomatoes. That's the way she, one of the ways that she earned a living.
Okay. Literally,
to make money to pick potatoes and tomatoes. And that was part of her income. So that's where that's where the journey really all started from.
Yeah. Okay, so how did you make that segue from the fields? How did, and again, we're going to talk about getting on the stage, but how did you get up to the point? Did the stage come first or did the writing come first?
Actually, the stage came first.
Okay, all right, all
yeah.
right.
Yeah, the stage came first because the stage is not only the writing and the speaker speaking, I'm a professional musician also. So that's where that stage came from also.
Okay. Now, was your family musical? How did you end up being a musician?
No, actually, from my understanding, even as a little kid, only I remember one of my aunts was singing in the church choir. That's all I really remember. Not, I don't know if she was a really good singer or not, but she was she was up there singing. So I don't know if she's good or not. But really, it all came from, I'm dating myself, and you'll probably... watching the American Bandstand on Saturday mornings.
Oh, no, I'm right there with you. I get it. Yep.
Yeah, so for those who maybe that will be listening to this, watching this, have never heard American Bandstand, that's way before the BET Awards. That's way before the MTV Awards. That's where the American Bandstand is where it all started from. Watching American Bandstand, and of course, this guy called Ed Sullivan. I'm really dating myself right now. But seriously, that's where it all started from, Kathy, because all of these groups that we hear and listen to right now, they are pretty much like kind of carbon copy
Yes.
Used the path from a lot of the other entertainers like the Beatles and the James Brown and all those, you know, Elvis. So that's where it all started from. So me watching American Bandstand on every Saturday morning, you know, getting in front of the TV and dancing and watching some moves. And I said, I want to be a musician one day. And that's where really it started from.
Okay. So tell us about your journey as being a musician. What instrument did you play or do you play?
I play bass guitar.
Okay.
Yeah, I play bass guitar. I've been playing music for probably since I was like 13 or 14 years old.
Okay.
I've been playing for a long time. I started out as a regular guitar player, because there's a difference. People, for those who don't know the difference, the bass guitar was four strings. Now in today's time we're right now, it normally starts with five string bass guitar, versus a regular guitar is like six strings. But when I moved to New Jersey, the neighborhood I lived in, I joined a family of musicians who came from a musical family, and they already had a guitar player. So somebody had to play the bass. So that's actually how I started.
So you got the leftover spot at the time.
Yeah, right, exactly. Pretty much. Yeah.
I get it.
Pretty much. Yeah. Played in high school.
I love the bass. I love it. And when I listen to a band that, you know, in a live setting, I gravitate toward that bass player. I'd love to learn how. So too bad we don't live close.
Yeah. Yeah. But even with that, you know, playing in talent shows in junior high school, playing at picnics, actually playing at my when I used to live in Virginia, where I'm originally from, doing some of our family reunions, I would take out my band. We used to go down there when I was in high school and play in our front yard.
Okay.
Where I was raised at, and for the family reunion, the family functions. So that's, you know, and you know, a real quick funny story. Even with me playing music, I was 16, didn't I think 15 or 16, didn't have any driver's license at all. And my father was a manager, was running some that little small club in Virginia, and he wanted us to come down and play to perform. I was the only one from Virginia. No one else knew how to get there. And I was the youngest in the band. We had guys that were in the band like, you know, 18, 21, 23, 25 years old, but they didn't know how to get there. So I drove a van from New Jersey, a U-Haul van. I put a big hat on, some sunglasses on, 15 years old, and drove to Virginia in a van with the equipment. My mother had a fit when she found out that I drove the van, but
I bet. But
that's part of my journey.
I love that. So, okay, I have to ask, what was the name of the band when you were in high school?
The band was called Cosmic Birth.
Cosmic Birth. Okay, I was in a band in high school, and ours was called The Recluse.
The Recluse, really?
The Recluse, yeah.
And what did you play, or you sang?
I sang, and okay. And then ultimately, I ended up being the drummer.
Get out.
Yeah. Wow. So anyway.
That's interesting.
Boy, that's a lot of years ago.
Yeah, wow.
So what actually motivated you? You know, now you're on the stage, you're through high school, you're actually out performing, am I correct?
Yes.
And what prompted you, at what stage of your life, at what place in your life that were you prompted to actually write a book?
Well, actually that came actually probably in like in 19, so this is way really fast forwarding. Because even of course playing music, had no idea, no thoughts of writing a book, because it was a young little star, little neighborhood New Jersey star traveling the country. But probably in 1989, when I was starting to read it, because my mindset then was to get rich. I wanted to be rich.
Okay.
Wanted to be rich. And I started reading a lot of get rich books. You know, I had not read Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich.
Okay.
I had not read that. I had not heard of it yet. But I was reading a lot of other books, you know, that are the guys who are writing books and things. So my main focus was how to get rich. So I was reading how to get rich. But I didn't realize that what I was doing all those times, because I used a lot of highlighter markers.
Okay.
Because they were saying, even I was doing this at work, and they were saying that if you want to find Skip, he's somewhere in the corner coloring, because they call it coloring because I was highlighting everything in the book. But I didn't realize that, you know, to think about it, what I was doing was planting a seed in my own life, in myself.
Right, right.
That's pretty much what I was really doing. Because all of the books that I was reading back then, you know, it led to where I'm at right now. Still during that time, still did not have any plans of writing a book because I was still playing music also.
Okay.
But probably when my first book, I wrote my first book in 2013.
Okay. So all this time you're actually performing professionally at this point.
Yes.
And so you're traveling all around and in between gigs, you're reading books.
In between gigs, reading books. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Reading the books and listen to a lot of stuff on cassette tapes.
Okay, we're dating ourselves again. Yeah, I've got a whole collection of those. I get
cassette
it.
Tapes. And then, of course, later on, the CDs. But then again, you know, out of nowhere, God, not out of nowhere, because God gave me the vision one day. I just started. And that, during this time also, I was still working full time also.
Oh, my. So you're working a full time job and you're traveling professionally and you're doing all this reading.
Yes. Yes. They were flying me out to different cities and different states on Friday nights and make sure I was back home, because I was working for Coca-Cola. Was, you know, back then was a good paying job, which still
right,
is.
Right. Still is.
So they would fly me out to different places on Friday nights and to make sure I would be back home Sunday night to get up and go to work Monday. Yeah. That's how I went.
So how did you know you were ready to write a book?
I didn't have any clue. Just that one, I believe, you know, I don't want to offend anyone, but I do believe higher power. I do believe there's a God.
Right.
But
right.
God just gave me, actually, I was started one night at work. I just started, every time I would go to the bathroom, I would take when I was washing my hands and dry my hands, I would take an additional piece of paper towel from the roller and just start writing. That's how it started, actually. So I would take those pieces of paper and write, and then fold them up, put them in my pocket and go home and just pile them up and just start it. And then I sat in front of the computer and start typing and putting them on and compiling them on the screen. That's how I started.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So that was my next question, is with that kind of a schedule where you're working a full-time job, you're being flown all around to these professional gigs where you're playing music, and now you're on your job writing on paper towels in the restroom. How in the world did you find the time to put together the actual book? How did you find the time to write that and get it in a manuscript form enough? And we're going to talk a little bit about this, whether you did your own editing or whether you were also an editor, but how did you find the time to just get it into that first draft manuscript?
Well, actually, like I said, I was just writing, and then I knew I had to come up with titles for different chapters. With doing the writing, I didn't. I just was just writing.
Okay.
When I came up afterwards, I felt it was done. I started coming up with different titles, different chapters.
Okay.
You know, you're outstanding, unstoppable. You know, take action. I was starting off with little easy chapters. You know, take action. I'm looking up it now because my wall in back of me is a motivational, inspirational. I have a lot of quotes on my wall.
Okay. I do too. I've got a cork board here behind my computer, and it's I get it.
Yeah, that's where it came from. So I was decided to publish it. I said, I have all this stuff, so I might as well at least try it. And I didn't know where to start. And a cousin of mine, she has a book. She lives in Philadelphia. She had a poetry. She does poetry. So I asked her who did hers, and she told me. So I called the company, and I hired the company. I paid for it, so I paid the extra for the editing because I had no clue. I didn't know what I was doing.
Okay.
It had gotten to the point where it was giving me a headache, like every day, literally giving me a headache, pressuring myself because I didn't know what to do. So I said, you know, I'm going to pay for the extra. And when people ask me now, Kathy, in reference to how to format a book, and I give them the same advice that the lady gave me over 2013. She said, Skip, have you ever baked a cake before? I said, yeah, I've done that before. She said, your different chapters, whatever. She says, that's your ingredients for your cake.
Okay.
She says, start from the beginning. She said, when you bake a cake, you need your eggs, your milk, your butter, all those other things is laid out. She says, now put all the ingredients together, your pages, your chapters, where they should go. And voila. And to this day, whenever I decide to write a book, I do the same thing. And it works like, just like that.
You know what? That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. So now we're at the part of this conversation. Tell us, what is, do you have more than one book, first of all?
I have five now.
Okay, so you've published five books. But going back to that first one, and again, it's the title is?
The title of the first book is You Are Outstanding and Unstoppable.
Okay. And then the last one, the one that you're promoting is called?
Well, the one I'm promoting right now is my autobiography. It's from the Fields to the Stage.
Okay, From the Fields to the Stage. Okay. Let's talk about From the Fields to the Stage. Tell us what that book actually is about.
Actually, when we first started a few minutes ago, I talked about my humble beginnings. And that's probably the subtitle on the book also, From Humble Beginnings. From humble beginnings in Virginia, living in the South, picking potatoes, no oil burning stove. We had to burn the wood in the stove and the coal. Uh-huh. So that's where the humble beginnings from. So that, talk about that. From there, moving to New Jersey to playing music. I played sports also. I came from a sports family. But I gave up. I was a great baseball pitcher in junior high school and high school.
I didn't know about you. A little trivia. If somebody asks me, I'll have some trivia about Skip
Bayless. And I played baseball in junior high school for 2 years. And I got to high school. That's when I was really into the music. And in the book, it says that, which is the truth, reason why I gave up baseball, because I was getting a lot of attention from the girls as a musician. So I was like, okay. That was an easy decision to make.
I
gave up baseball to play music. And then from the stage, from playing music on the stage, and then later on, I talk about that's, you know, the laughter, the humor part of the book. But then I really touch on the dark side also. And I touch on my, I'm really transparent in my book. I talk about my past drug addiction.
From
being addicted to cocaine and crack cocaine. I really talk about that also, yeah.
Now, did that happen during that whole period of time when you were the professional musician and just on the road? Is that when that happened, or how did that fit into your story?
Actually, I was unfortunately, and I'm one of my story is actually one of those stories you've probably seen on TV. I was smoking marijuana in the ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I was smoking marijuana in the ninth grade, eighth grade, smoking cigarettes, hanging out with the older boys, doing stuff like that. But I then didn't really start doing cocaine, really probably not until I went to the Army. I enlisted in the Army in 1977. And of course, doing things I shouldn't have been doing. But then when the cocaine really got bad, when I was playing music, and we had an opportunity, I was playing for this lady, her name is Millie Jackson. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of shows. We were on the same showcase with some of the members of the Temptations, same showcases of B.B. King, those people like that. She called me one night and said that, Skip, we need to go to England. We have to go to England for 6 months.
Wow.
And I was, to keep in mind, I was still working for Coca-Cola at the same time. So I had to make a decision to quit Coca-Cola and go to England. So I decided not to go to England because I just got married not too long ago and my son was 6 months old.
Okay. So you made the decision to stay stateside.
Stay stateside because of my son, mm-hmm. and I was married, and that's really when, and I talk about that a lot. Even when I coach people, when I talk, even with drug addiction, even with just life coaching, personal development, overall, in reference to, I really started beating myself up for not going to England, and cocaine became my friend, real friend. I use it as a bandage.
Okay. So now you're married, you've got a baby. And so now you're kind of going down the rabbit hole with mm-hmm. the drugs at the mm-hmm. same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So what actually made you decide that you needed to make a change or turn the corner? Did you have any one big aha moment, or was it a lot of little nudges?
Well, there were, Well, there was both, but then again, one of the main nudges was I was suspended from my job 3 times at Coca-Cola. Okay. And 3 suspensions, and the fourth one, you know what fourth one is bye bye.
You're out the door, yeah.
You're out the door. But I was told that, you know, that, and because I'm not far from Princeton University, you know, okay. You've heard of Princeton University.
Yes, yes.
So there's a drug rehabilitation facility in right outside of Princeton called Carrier Clinic. So I was told that the company paid for it, and so you could save your job. So I went to HR. I said, I have a drug problem. And I went, they enrolled me, I went. But Kathy, I didn't go there to stop doing drugs. I went there to save my job.
Okay.
That's why I have people to understand. I didn't go there to stop doing drugs. So, but the fact that it was, and I heard it was a country club. And when I got there, it was a summer, it was like this time of year. You had a big picnic when you get there, steak, lobster, shrimp, music outside. That's not a rehab. Well, it was, but.
you felt like you were rolling into the country club or
exactly.
something.
Exactly, for real. Yeah. It was co-ed. But fast forward, I did that and I got back out, say for 45 days, went back to work, started getting high again on drugs. But during those times, even if you, as far as reading my book, it talks about me selling my bass guitar, renting my grandmother's car out to drug dealers to go to New York to purchase drugs. In return, they would give me drugs. Giving up my whole income tax check one night to a drug dealer for cocaine.
So you were pretty entrenched in that lifestyle.
Yes.
So yeah. What was the big aha that finally made you decide? And I understand now why you have to write the story, because this message is so important. And so what was the big aha finally that made you decide you really have to do something about this?
Because I, you know, knowing, you know, hurting my family, my mother coming to different bad areas, even though I was out on my own, but as a mom, right. Still as a grown man, she was still coming looking for me in drug infested areas. And then I was and one night I was in this building getting high, sitting. Actually, the band I was playing with at the time. We were playing for a corporate event. They were in Princeton at the event waiting on me.
Oh, no.
I was in the projects sitting on a dirty floor with a tuxedo on, smoking and snorting cocaine. Have you seen the Temptations movie?
Yes.
David Ruffin? Pretty much the same thing.
And so the guys didn't even know where to find you.
They didn't know where to find me. They didn't know where to find me. I never made it to the gig.
Oh, my.
I never made it to the gig. But so when I tell people, talk to people about my story, and we talk about the drug addiction, the drug houses, the real rehabilitation, the NA meetings, I've done that, but that's fine and all. But I tell people, mine was a spiritual healing.
Okay.
Because that night, I never made it to the gig. I smoked my last bit of cocaine and spent all my money smelly because I was, ugh. And I left there, but I knew when I was getting high for that last few minutes, I knew I don't want to do this anymore. So I left there, fast forward, I went to my mother's house where I grew up at, because I couldn't go home because I knew I couldn't get in the house because I was locked out. So I went to my mother's house. She let me in. I went on the third floor where I grew up at. I sat on the bed with my tuxedo and my trench coat on. I said, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I took my shoes off, laid on the bed, and it's been over 30 years. I've never touched it ever, marijuana, cocaine, cigarettes, or nothing. So that's what I tell people. You can do it. You can do it.
You just were so discouraged and disgusted with your lifestyle that you just at rock bottom said, I got to quit this.
Yeah.
You knew it had to happen, kind of like a now or never kind of thing.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, wow. What a story. What a story. So then, how did you do full circle where you thought, I need to write this story?
Because I knew, far as even with me getting my certification as a addiction recovery coach. So I said to myself, no, of course, if I'm going to help people, I have to be totally transparent.
Okay.
And then again, also the thought of me being the public figure as I am, So I said, I might as well tell my own story before someone else tells it.
Okay. I get it. Because enough people knew you and knew exactly. of you and knew about you that exactly. your story was going to come out.
Exactly. Yeah. And okay. even though when I started writing it, Kathy, also, it took me a while to really get past the first couple of chapters because I was sitting there tearing up myself. No, some of the things that I get it.
I can see on our participants list who's on the call, and Debbie Marks is on the call with us. And Debbie and I have had this conversation that it's sometimes you have to write some of those really emotional pieces. You have to write them kind of in stages because it's a lot. You'll have to almost go back and relive the same emotion that you had at the time, and sometimes that's hard to do, and so you have to kind of do it in stages. How long did it actually take you to write your story?
Oh God, this book only took me maybe 2 months, maybe a month and a half. It was quick.
Oh wow! So
it was quick. It was all here, so I just had to put it on paper.
You just decided to plow through all of those emotions.
Pretty much.
Wow. Now, since you've written this book, who is it primarily for?
You know, this book is really primarily for individuals who are stuck, who are feeling stuck in their life, whether it's drug addiction, because me and my fiance were talking about just addiction a couple of days ago, whether it's gambling, alcoholism, sex, food, whatever. I was telling her an addiction is an addiction.
Right.
Yeah,
I get that. Yeah.
So this book is for anyone who's stuck in their life and feel that, you know, they don't know how to move forward. But they do know that they can move forward, but they don't know how to.
Do you give any sort of a process in the book, or is it just your story to inspire them to make some choices?
Yeah, this book is just there's no processes in the book. It's just a story.
Okay, so you're hoping to inspire them to make a change if they feel stuck.
Exactly, and so where the process comes is when I do the coaching, the one-on-one coaching or the group coaching. That's when we go through the principles that I've created. You know, to what you need to do. Of course, it all boils down to also the mindset shifting. You have to shift that mindset. You have to pour out the dirty water.
Yes. Oh my. So your message is so important. And of course, you know, the inspiration for folks to make a change if they need to, and to get unstuck if they feel stuck. And so now you've created a coaching program, and you do the life coaching, you do the addiction coaching. Do you refer back to your story quite a bit?
All the time. As a matter of fact, especially when I do the coaching, the one-on-one coaching, and also I don't know how I got into it, the relationship coaching, the marriage coaching, but I refer to my past a lot when I do those type of sessions because I want to be totally transparent up front, because I don't know if you, from your experience, you know, coaching people, a lot of people aren't in the beginning. They don't probably use the word don't trust or aren't really open up to your coach yet. So I lay everything on the table right in the very beginning. So there's nothing that you have to be afraid of me of telling me, because I'm going to tell you my story first. So by me telling you my story, if you don't feel comfortable telling me your story after I tell you mine, we shouldn't work together.
Because they're thinking, oh, this guy's going to get it because he's been there.
He's been there a couple of times. He's been in the dirt, in the trenches. Yeah.
Oh, Skip, this is such an amazing, amazing story, and how you actually, you know, put it into a book. You've got 5 books out there. I want to do a little segue here. We see why your message is important. We see what your background is. You know, we see all of that about you. And so bring us up to date now and tell us all of the wonderful things that you're doing out there. You know, brag on yourself a little bit. Don't hold back. Tell us all the wonderful things that's going on. And then we'll circle back around on how we can connect with you. But tell us all the great things that you're working on now and what you see in the future for you.
Okay. One of my books that it's a workbook that I have, is called You Can Be Unstoppable. Which is a 31-day workbook. It's a workbook journal all in one. I'm really proud of that, because I can give that to individuals who are, you know, teenagers, young adults and adults. But also one of the things I've also is recircle back to my past, which was being, I see that your title there says passive income coach. Mm-hmm. So my past also, I was involved with internet marketing, online network marketing in the past. Okay. So the company that I'm involved with now, I've got back involved with that a couple of months ago. And you know, also Kathy, and it's not multi-level marketing what I'm doing. Right. But what we're doing is the people, my target individuals that I really focus on or individuals who are in the process of retiring or within, say within a 5 to 10 year frame of retiring, or individuals who is retiring today, next week, or have retired, because a lot of those individuals may be retired, but don't know what to do.
Right, right.
A lot of those individuals won't retire because they don't know what to do.
I get it. I get it. I hung on to my job for 2 years longer than probably what I should have, because I didn't know what I wanted to do with myself once I retired. I thought, what am I going to do? Watch soap operas all day? and so I hung in there for a couple of years longer, you know, and I worked in the salon. I was a nail tech behind the nail table, and the doctors were talking about shoulder surgery and elbow surgery and carpal tunnel surgery. And I thought, you know, I can quit right before I get all cut up instead of right after.
Right.
But I didn't, because I thought, what am I going to do? I actually hung in there 2 years past probably when I should have. So I get that. Yeah.
That's, you know, honestly, you know, I do the one-on-one coaching with the personal development, the high performance coaching, stuff like that. I do that. But my main focus also is with this. Can I say the name?
Yes, go ahead.
Market America. That's the company I'm involved with.
Which is, okay.
It's a unfranchised, it's structured just like a franchise, but without, it's the wall without mall, the mall okay. without walls. But the fact that helping individuals to understand that you don't have to stay at this job. Because I see people say, you know what, I'll stay until I'm 67 to get my full. Why? Why would you do that? Because one of the reasons, they don't know what to do. They've never planned. Just like with you, with the nail tech and working in your salon, that's something you really enjoy doing.
Yes.
So when we get to the age of, you know, 55, 60, it's just something to do now.
Yeah.
The job is something to do versus being a musician. Here's my guitar right here. You can't see it.
Okay.
But I can still play. I still play it. You can still, if you really, really wanted to, as a hobby, to still do nails.
Right.
But if a person has never touched their niche, one of the gifts that they've given was given to by our creator, whether it's painting, singing, dancing, building, they're going to work until they drop because they don't know what to do. So that's part of my passion, is to help individuals to figure out what they need to do, where they need to go once they retire or plan for it.
Okay, great. So this is all of, you know, you're talking now about your coaching.
Yeah.
And but I see you doing these events. Tell us about these events. I see them on your social media. What are these events all about?
Okay, the event that we had planned for May was a celebration of women. Actually, what it was that I created an event called Celebration of Women. It was a fashion show combined, had entertainment. And celebrating women who were doing some amazing things in the community. And then also I had a couple of teenagers that we're honoring that are scholars also.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, of course, you know, just recognizing individuals. But an event that we have coming up in June, well, this is June, in 2 weeks, it's a R&B, we call it Summer Jam.
Okay.
That's another way of me to hire myself as a musician.
Now, I hope everybody on this call is listening to this. You see how Skip not only is writing books and getting published, but he is building an entire business around what he's doing. And he's building his own tribe that will follow. And so do you think that the next time he publishes a book that his tribe's going to buy it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us more about this event here in June.
Well, the event here is here in New Jersey. It's June 24th. It's an R&B show. We have four bands performing. My band is one of the bands that's performing. And of course, there's dinner involved also. The young lady, a friend of mine, she's the host. I'm the co-host.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm the co-host, because the person with the microphone controls the room.
Okay.
So the listeners, that you guys keep that in mind also. The person with the microphone, if you're doing live events, as far as coaching, speaking, the person with the microphone usually controls the room. So even with that, if I wanted to advertise, if I have a coaching event that's coming up next month, I can promote that because I have the microphone.
Yes.
So it's, you know, it's because it all fits all fits together because with entertaining, performing is entertaining. I'm also coaching you while I'm playing my guitar because I'm helping you to take you to a place at least for 2 hours to help you to forget about maybe some things that you don't want to think about for 2 or 3 hours because you listen to the music. That's fine. Coaching, being on a stage, talking and coaching people, speaking, that's a form of entertainment because I'm silly when I speak because I like to help have people to be comfortable. So I do, you know, say little different things to just be transparent and be myself.
Right.
And that's one of the things I found about in reference to speaking. A lot of people struggle with that because they try to be someone else. They try to speak like Tony Robbins or Les Brown. No, be yourself. If you're funny and silly, if you've been funny and silly all your life, you should be funny and silly the rest of your life.
Yes, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Skip, that's wonderful. I put in the chat that you can get in touch with Skip through skipbailey.com. Is that a good place for everyone to connect with you?
Absolutely. Yes.
A contact page there and they can connect with you there.
Yes, absolutely. That's all my contact information is there. I have the drop boxes there. You can click on certain things there. So that's a great place to visit, skipbailey.com.
Perfect. I want to invite the folks that are in the audience. If you have any questions for Skip, put those in the chat. Make sure that the little box there is marked everyone so we can see your comments. And just put your comments there in the chat if there's any questions. We've got Debbie, Kyle, Ryan, and Tom on with us. And again, I just want to review and kind of reset the interview a little bit. This is the Ohio Writers Guild, and we have a meetup group with 372 members on meetup.com. And we have a Facebook group with 1,200 members on Facebook, and it's an actual group, not a page. So you can find us under Ohio Writers. And then we have also our own website, ohiowriters.com. But you can reach Skip under skipbailey.com. And again, give us the titles of your books. Are they all on Amazon? Can we find those all on Amazon?
Well, I think it's only like one or two of them now, but I direct people to my website.
Okay, so they can get to your books from the website.
Yeah, skipbailey.com, yes.
Okay, skipbailey.com. You can find the books there. You can find the coaching there. And let's see, not a question. It says, but I wanted to say that a story about using napkins to write a story because I have a whole folder of post-it notes with all my thoughts and gems. Funny, must be a thing that we writers do. And that's from Kyle. Yes.
Absolutely.
I get that. Yep. Me too. I'm trying to get a little more organized in my writing. Early on, Ryan made a note. He says he doesn't have a Facebook, sadly, because it took a lot of time. But he says he's making notes on the conversation tonight. So very nice. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us and for how, you know, all the things that you're doing and how we can connect with you. And Skip, I know that I'm going to see you more in the future. We're going to be at Wendy's event in South Florida on June 24th and 25th. But don't think that I didn't pay attention and actually look at my calendar to see if I could make one of your events. Because I would love to attend. And so, yes, Ryan says, thanks, Skip. You are an inspiration. Tom says, yes, thanks. Fantastic story. And Skip, I appreciate you so much for coming on tonight. And so thank you. And I want everyone to mark your calendars. Debbie Marks says, thank you. And let me find my calendar here, just so I always quote the right day. It's the second Tuesday of every month. Mark your calendar, the second Tuesday of every month. We are on interviewing a new author once a month. so that you can kind of see how it's done. I know everyone in the group is either an author or a wannabe author. Thanks to Wendy, I'm actually going to be published for the first time. We launch with Amazon on September 6th on the co-author project that I'm doing with Wendy, and Skip and I, how Skip and I met, mm-hmm. is through Wendy. And so I will be a published author for the first time. And I've written a lot of eBooks and all, you know how that goes, but to be actually on Amazon and feel like you're really published, that'll be for me on September 6th. So Ryan says, congratulations. Thank you, Ryan. Yes, I'm kind of excited about it. We're at the editors now.
That's great.
And Skip, like you, I just paid to have all of that editing done. Mm-hmm. So my manuscript is turned in. My part is done at this point, except for, working through the manuscript with the edits. But other than that, we're ready to, we already have the cover. We already are doing some marketing. We're already doing a pre-sale on iBooks. And so again, we'll launch September 6th on Amazon. So
absolutely.
So perfect. Skip, thank you so much. And we will see you. Hopefully you'll come back and visit. And again, Skip is in our speakers cabinet, and you can go to kathybinner.com and scroll down to the speakers cabinet. I'm going to put that in the chat as well. So if anyone is looking for a speaker, and you need a speaker that can share the story like Skip can, then contact him through our Speakers Bureau or directly through skipbailey.com. So with that, we're going to say goodnight, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thank you, Skip. Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.